Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 15, Text 8. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sanyayam Adya Sarani Chanavi Virudhas Paraspisho Jumalata Parajam Brimishta Nadyo Draya Sagamega Sadaya Volokai Gopyon Sarita Bujayor Apiyat Sriha. The earth has now become most fortunate, because you have touched her grass and bushes with your feet and her trees and creepers with your fingernails. Because you have graced her, and because you have graced her rivers, mountains, birds, and animals with your merciful glances. But above all, you've embraced the young cowherd women between your two arms, a favor hankered after by the goddess of fortune herself. Omigyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Taksuran Mulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Sayakrupa Kadamayam Tadati Sapadantikam Adadana Stanam Dante Idam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bhoja Dulisham Janma Janmani Vairagyayuk Bhakti Risam Piyatnai Apayam Amanabhipsamandam Kripam Buhiya Paraduka Dugi Sanatanastam Prabhamasrayami Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyasta Krita Sindhu Bayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ramo, Hare Ramo, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Rati, how is the sound? Okay, there's no problem, good. So, my dear devotees, greetings from Vrindavan. Again, returned from Govardhan, and I'm in my room in the Radharaman Bagicha colony, about 5 minutes from the Krishna Balaram Mandir. I know some of you like to hear, who have been here, a little bit of the taste and flavor of Vrindavan. Of course, spiritual life means consciousness, not just place. Better to be in New York thinking of Vrindavan than in Vrindavan thinking of New York. Everything in spiritual life is consciousness. The whole essence of our philosophy was given by Krishna when he gave a message to the gopis that were in separation from him. And the message said that I am there in Vrindavan in my bhava manifestation. So being in Vrindavan means the facility to have bhava. But if one is in Vrindavan and he doesn't have bhava or devotion, as Prabhupada once said when the devotees were at Radhakund, and they were in the wrong consciousness and very, very frivolous, he said it's not Radha Kund, it's Naraka Kund then, which means hell. So Vrindavan means the bhava, and certainly there is the help here to get that bhava, as the Dham is manifest and the Dham attracts people who can access the Dham. We come to the Dham, we have no ability to access the Dham, but because there are great saints that can actually, and wonderful devotees that can access the glories of the Dham, then we go to the Dham to be in their association. And I told you before, one of the main reasons I have this conference is to share with you my own association with the wonderful devotees that are here in Vrindavan. And if you're coughing, then you have to mute your phone. Okay? And I had a very nice opportunity to serve one of those devotees, my god sister, Daivi Shakti, who's one of the great devotees in Vrindavan. She's been here even, I think she's one of the only devotees that's been here in Vrindavan longer than I have. And her daughter, who was conceived and born in Vrindavan, Dauji Krishna, had her wedding to Vaikuntha Goloka Vrindavan. Some of you may know him, who was in Boston, who was serving there and distributing Srila Prabhupada's books there. And because one of the wonderful things that Daivi Shakti Mataji has done is she helped to restore and take over in the name of Srila Prabhupada, Vrindakund, which is one of the three main yoga pits in Vrindavan. So it's a very, I mean, there's not formal, but there's meeting places of Radha and Krishna, and the morning meeting place is Vrindakund, right on the, I believe it's the western side of Nandagram. You can see Nandishvara, the hill of Nandagram. It's a very, very beautiful place. The morning, the midday meeting place is Radhakund, and the evening meeting place is Sevakund. So these are very, very sacred places. And she took that place, somehow it was given to ISKCON by this great saint, Madhava Baba, who dedicated himself to protecting the Dham. And he felt that ISKCON, which has done so much work to renovate the Dham, would be the best place to give this place. And very intelligently, she kept the local people as the pujaris. So the wedding was held there, and I got to do the nice services as to be one of the two speakers at the wedding, myself and Dinabandhu Prabhu. And all the great Vaishnavas from ISKCON Vrindavan were there. So many devotees that have been here for such a long time. And it was interesting because it was a traditional Brijvasi wedding, which means that Hey, someone just got on. It's got off. What did this got off? Rippy? Are you having a hard time hearing me? What's that? You know, someone is joining us.
Someone who dialed in last couple minutes should dial again.
Whoever just joined in the last 5 minutes should dial again. Okay, Repi? Yeah. Someone who just dialed in, right? Okay. Well, anyway, they were nice enough to hang up. I have a suspicion it was it. But one person I had called before, I used to call in America, had this problem. Let's see if it happens again. Is it okay now, Repi? Okay. So, okay. So, okay. Many people can. So this wedding was a very traditional. The groom rode in on a horse from Nandagram, and the bride was dressed in this beautiful Brijbasi wedding gown. And it was very spectacular. And the other thing is, because Divi Shakti has been here for so long, so many Brijbasis came. I mean, it seemed like half the village of Nandagram was there, which meant that there was a little bit chaos there also. And also, distinguished people from Vrindavan were coming, the Padmanabha and Padmalochan Goswami from Radharaman, Shamsundar Shastri, one of the most learned Bhagavad Gita speakers from Varstana. It was quite a scene. And Mukunda Dutta, our head pujari, was doing the wedding. So when finally, because it was hours late, and that's also typical, that the bride finally came, and they were about to have the wedding. So many people crowded in on this small section of Vrindakund, and it was someone else. I think we're having problems with the phone again. I think Repi, when we write it, we have to write something to people that they really have to check their phone. You can hear me, Repi? Okay, so it's okay. So I want to get back to the purport, but this is a little distracting. But so what happened was, I had to speak, but there was no microphone, and there was so many people climbing over the walls and things like that. But the first thing I said to him too, because when the groom was sitting there, you know, there were snacks and all these kind of things at weddings, which I don't go for. I was just sitting and chanting by the fire yogi, waiting for it all to happen. And he was sitting there very, very nervous. So what I told him is I said, Goloka, I said, you know, don't be nervous. Krishna's in control. And then I looked at him and I said, actually speaking, Krishna's not in control here. Because it's the Brijbasis are in control in Vrindavan. So we had that, it was nice. So I somehow had to attend that. Now let's go to today's verse and get into the Krishna Katha. Okay. I'm still getting it. Are you hearing that, Rupi? Yeah. Okay, that may not be... Okay, I'll just ignore it and go on. So we're in this wonderful pastime of Dana Kakasura, and what I want to do, too, when I tell these stories of the 10th canto, I definitely want to give philosophy, but I also, I would like us also to have some visual. And I mentioned before about Smarin that it's a very advanced process. But at the same time, it doesn't mean that we can't adopt aspects of the process of Smarin. It just can't be our exclusive main type of meditation. No one would be very successful at it. Smarin needs a detailed investigation of the mind. And as Krishna consciousness means to think of Krishna, we have to make a detailed investigation of the mind, and as one hears more and more and more details about Krishna, it's easier and easier to construct a visualization of Krishna and Radharani and the pastimes of Vrindavan. So maybe we could have some visualization as I try to describe these these pastimes. And perhaps what I can do, because I don't think that you can repeat it enough, is kind of tell the story from the beginning up to where we're at and then go forward. Now here, Krishna's speaking, and he's speaking to Balaram, because Krishna has been greeted in Vrindavan. As he first came in Vrindavan, he's been greeted by the worship and glorification of the residents of Vrindavan. After all, Krishna is Krishna. He's the absolute reality, and he is all attractive. Whatever we're attracted to has an element of Krishna's attraction to a minute degree. And whatever we're attracted to because it gives us some happiness. So can you imagine how much happiness you would get if you could actually hear, see, taste, and smell Krishna? In the Durya Kadambini, it describes at the end of the book what happens when someone enters the spiritual world. When he enters the spiritual world and he sees Krishna, and the sight of Krishna, it overloads all his senses with such a degree of intense emotional happiness that he faints. And because Krishna is attracted to the devotees who are attracted to him, because as the Supreme Person, Krishna reciprocates our love, then Krishna tries to wake the devotee from his ecstatic slumber by, in a sonorous voice, we love sounds, pleasing sounds, pleasing music. It stirs our soul. But how our soul will be stirred by the sonorous voice of Krishna personally calling our name. And then we hear it in all our senses. So everything hears Krishna. So Krishna is all attractive. And therefore all Vrindavan is gravitating towards Krishna with the intention of pleasing Krishna because they have this priti or affection or love for Krishna in their hearts. And Krishna, and therefore Krishna is attracted to the devotee in reciprocal relationship, and the devotees are attracted to each other. Because you love those whom you love also loves. So Vrindavan is this place that's just swimming in this affection, but not just ordinary affection, but the perfected love, which is called rasa. And that's the spiritual world. And by hearing of these pastimes, we become attracted to that spiritual world. The whole essence of Krishna consciousness, how we become spiritually advanced, is absorption in Krishna. Because absorption in Krishna invokes our attraction for Krishna, because Krishna is all attractive. And spiritual advancement means devotion, because devotion is the symptom of the pure soul. Prabhupada said the perfection, what is perfection? He mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, one of my favorite statements, the perfection of the living entity is called a devotee. So when you become pure, you become free from anything that's external to yourself. That's the perfected state. And that's a devotee. That's what we are. And liberation means to free ourselves from anything external to that original self, which is full of love. So to bring that devotion, when devotion comes from the heart, that is the perfectional state. So
Krishna, seeing that the trees had been attracted to him, in this particular section, he wants to reciprocate their attraction, but he doesn't want to point out that their worship and glorification for him. So as he's walking with Balaram, he, in a smiling way, he points to Balaram, look how everyone is worshiping you. Now, let me get to this verse. It says, Adya, now. Now this earth has become most fortunate. And why has it become most fortunate? Because Krishna and Balaram. Because Krishna and Balaram has appeared on the earth. The statement, the earth has now become Deyam Adyadak, indicates nothing can equal the blessings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his original form when he appears with Balaram. Nothing can equal the blessings, because Krishna means the full revelation of that absolute reality, who is beautiful. He is beautiful in form, he is beautiful in personality, and he's full with all opulences. But unless one has a relationship with that absolute personality of Godhead, or to the extent that one has a relationship with that absolute reality, is the extent that one experiences the absolute reality, the extent that that absolute reality gives oneself to him. So the fact that the earth, because before the earth in the form of Varaha, Lord Krishna personally saved the earth with his tusks, so the earth was resting, and in Sesha, the potency of Sesha, is the earth was resting. So the earth had association before with Krishna, but not the full, with the absolute reality, but not with the full manifestation of the absolute reality, the Swayam Bhagavan, who is full in all sweetness. So this is the pastime, and it's remember, and I think now we can have our visualization to the best I can do it. As you remember, the first visualization is that Krishna now has matured, and his body has become more mature, and therefore his parents are giving him the cows, which means that now he can go to the forest. And therefore, Krishna wants to reciprocate with his cowherd boys, because they were just previously through great traumas. If you know the previous pastime, they were swallowed by a huge python called Agasura. And after being swallowed, if that wasn't bad enough, then after that they were stolen by Lord Brahma. So now Krishna, in reciprocation to these devotees with exclusive love for him, now wants to take these friends to the forest of Vrindavan. And again, Vrindavan was the land of the earth was fortunate, because now Krishna had matured in age, and his body was a little heavier, and therefore the imprints of his beautiful lotus feet touching the dust of Vrindavan are more deep and imprinted in that earth. We can even see, just imagine, if the footprints of Srila Prabhupada were still engraved someplace, how we would worship that land. Or even in Vrindavan today at the Radha Damodar temple, I went the other day, they have Krishna's footprint, which was melted in a Govardhan Shila, which was given by Krishna to Sanatana Goswami, because when Sanatana Goswami was old, he wanted to keep his vrata. One of the symptoms of nishtita bhakti, or anishtita bhakti, one of the symptoms of bhakti, when one is not steady, is that he cannot maintain his vows. He says, oh, now I will read every day. Then he reads for 3 days, and then for 2 days he doesn't read. Oh, now I will chant every day. Then he chants. That's anishtata bhakti. But the great souls, they have devotion for Krishna. And out of that love for Krishna, they make vows to please Krishna. And it's their pleasure. Everything is done with love, and therefore it's happiness. So their vows, it's not done externally. It's not just an obligation or duty, but it's something they've done for the pleasure and offering of Krishna. Let me offer this sankhya, this number of rounds to Krishna. So as they're chanting these rounds, it's not just something external or obligatory, but everything that a devotee of that caliber does is an offering of love. And when you do something with love, it is pleasure. And if you do something not for the activity itself, but to complete the activity, then the pleasure is what you get at the end and not the activity itself. Just like if you're doing deity worship and you're doing it in passion and you want to finish the deity worship, then your pleasure will be at the end. Wow, finally finished. Boy, that was boring. Oh, that was so tedious. Now it's finished. Now I can engage in my fruitive activities. Now I can relax. I don't have to perform this activity, but I've completed it and I get some benefit from it. But one who has devotion, he's focused on the moment in pleasure. So Sanatana Goswami, he was given this Gobernath Shila. He wanted to complete his vow, but he couldn't do it. So Krishna actually finally gave him a Gobernath Shila. So how we worship the footprints of Krishna. So they were imprinted daily, not just once, step after step. So Krishna, wanting to now to relieve his friends from all the traumas, in great love, is taking them to the forest of Vrindavan. So you have to imagine Krishna and what he looks like. There's so many descriptions of Krishna in the Bhagavatam. And actually, one of the first descriptions is in the Brahma-Vimohan Lila itself, where Lord Brahma sees Krishna finally. And he realized that this is the Supreme Lord, because he actually had heard that Krishna was appearing on the earth. And he actually saw Krishna being swallowed by this great python, Agasura. And then Agasura was killed by Krishna. But he was swallowed, Krishna saw, and Brahma saw this shining effulgence above Agasura, this python demon. He says, what is this shining effulgence? And then Krishna comes out of the mouth of the python, and that effulgence merges into his feet. And he's saying, he said, I heard that the Supreme Lord will appear. I know he will appear. They prayed on the milk ocean for me for Vishnu to appear. I myself went there. He said, but how can this be the Supreme Lord? He doesn't have crowns.
This conference has 27 other callers present.
Pigs and branches and feathers. How can this be the Supreme Lord? I mean, he couldn't imagine. You can imagine if let's say the President of the United States came to India, but he was just walking in Bermuda shorts in Lloyd Bazaar without any security detail and without anybody. You know, people said, no, that looks like him, but could this be him? So Krishna didn't look like that God who was appearing because he was Naralila. And then Lord Brahma, therefore he stole the cowherd boys and calves to test him. But when he finally saw the unlimited opulence of Krishna, he said, Namidyate Brahvapushe Tadid Ambaraya Kunjabatamsa Paridikya Vasandukaya. My Lord, you are the only worshipable Lord, the personality of God, and I offer my obeisances and prayers just to please you. O son of the king of the cowherds, your transcendental body is dark blue like a new cloud. Your garment is brilliant like lightning, and the beauty of your face is enhanced by your gunja earrings and the peacock on your feather on your head. And you're wearing the Vaijayanti garland of flowers and leaves, and you're equipped with a herding stick and a buffalo horn and a flute. You stand beautifully with a morsel of food in your hand, the yogurt and the rice coming. So there's so many descriptions of Krishna. So that Krishna is going through the forest of Vrindavan. Shaiman haranya paridimvana malya baha tatu pravala napavesham anavritam shay, and the wives of the Brahmins. It was described, his complexion was dark blue, and his garment golden. What is that golden garment, that yellow silken garment, wearing a peacock feather and colored minerals and sprigs of flower buds in his hair and a garland of forest flowers and leaves? He was dressed just like a dramatic dancer. And he rested one hand upon the shoulder of his friends, and with the other he twirled the lotus. Why was he twirling that lotus? Because the Brahmin ladies had come to him, and he saw their, how ecstatic they were to see him. And he's twirling that lotus, and he's saying, look at your ecstatic symptoms. And he's twirling the lotus, saying, this is your heart, and it's in my hand. And it's twirling and churning in the most ecstatic love. And then Krishna himself, seeing the love of the Brahmin ladies, he's thinking that, no, this is my heart. When I see you and I see your love, my heart is twirling. And lilies graced his ears, and his hair hung down over his cheeks because the lilies were there, and his lotus-like face was smiling. So this is Krishna. And he's entering the forest of Vrindavan, and he sees the forest of Vrindavan, and he loudly blows his flute to express his joy at seeing the forest of Vrindavan and desiring to enjoy that forest. He looks in the forest and he begins to observe the forest and how the forest is turning his mind towards pleasure by creating the wonderful atmosphere where he can exchange love with his devotees, Vayuna Jastam, the wind blowing against his body. He's looking and he's going through that forest and he's seeing all these clear lakes with lotus flowers, and the lakes are so clear. When you look at a clear lake, your mind becomes peaceful. And the scents of Vrindavan carried by the breeze, and the symphony, when Krishna blows his flute, imagine all the birds not only chirping but flying very beautifully from tree to tree with so many varieties of colors, and the green trees filled with the parrots. And Krishna blows his flute and all the parrots and the birds, they begin to fly and create so many wonderful sounds. And then Krishna comes into this forest and he sees so many stately trees, not just one tree, but a forest full of trees as he's winding through the path. And these trees are lush with not only the most luscious, fragrant fruits of various kinds, but the most beautiful flowers. And because they are devotees, they are bowing at the lotus feet of Krishna and touching his feet with the red buds of their flowers. And everything is moving towards Krishna in this whole forest. But what's moving towards Krishna, because Krishna is all attractive, is this force of affection or love, which is so thick that you can feel it in the atmosphere. And that love is transcendental pleasure personified. we all like, we all so much. Sometimes we see, sometimes at a nice function where they're glorifying a devotee, or a devotee has passed away, and we can, and everyone is pouring their hearts with so much affection for that devotee. And then you're there, and you can feel that affection, and therefore you feel that affection. And therefore so much love and pleasure is coming from your heart. And that's a fragment of the deep affection and love which flows through the forest of Vrindavan. And as Krishna's walking and the various trees are offering their fruits and flowers, then the moving living entities start to come. And the bees began to follow behind Krishna. And the bees are buzzing. And they're chanting Krishna's glories. And they're so intelligent that although Krishna's hidden, he's not with four arms, he's not sitting on a throne, he's in humans. They're so exalted devotees. They're such wonderful devotees, the bees. Mukya, Vavidya, among the devotees, they're the Muni-gana, they're great sages. They're fixed on Krishna as everyone is fixed on Krishna. And the bees are following Krishna's garland and his lotus feet. And then the does, the deers come by, and with their beautiful eyes, they look at Krishna. And Krishna is now entering the forest of Vrindavan, and then the peacocks come to show their beauty to Krishna. The sargasatam, which is the symptom. This is the symptom. Vrindavan is the symptom of great soul. Because what is the symptom of a great soul? Satam nasarga, the symptom of a great soul, is that he greets other great souls by offering him the excellences that he has. So now this verse, because this is these are the resonances who describe the glories of those who Krishna first saw when he entered the forest. And remember now, Krishna is describing this to Balaram, this offering to him. But out of humility, Krishna is saying to Balaram, look, these peacocks are dancing for you, the bees are following you, the trees are offering these flowers to you. But now Krishna is saying, why just describe the glories of what we first saw? And those who are appearing now. And then out of his joy, Krishna, of describing, what can be more joy than describing Vrindavan, which is moving with full, ecstatic, prema, love, and offering everything for the pleasure of Krishna? This is why it's difficult for us conditioned souls to be in Vrindavan. Because we are struggling so hard to be the center of attraction and draw all scents, sounds, touches, taste. We're trying to draw all those to us. We're trying to make ourselves the center. We want to see the world as we see the world as a product of our own desires and fears. What we want, that's what we see. What we want to be, that's how we see the world. We see it in illusion, that it's not Krishna's energy, it's ours. So how hard it is for the conditioned soul to come to Vrindavan, where that energy is moving so powerfully for the glorification and pleasure of Krishna. And if you're in the concept of false ego, that I am the enjoyer, I am the controller, how frustrated you'll be here in Vrindavan. Therefore, Prabhupada in his rooms, I was heard on one tape, he said that at the end, by the force of Vrindavan, at the end of life, even a dog goes back to Godhead. Imagine the force. The dog without consciousness, and it stays here, the force. But because the dog is moving for its own pleasure in Vrindavan, the dog leads a dog's life. It suffers. So this is the glory of Vrindavan. And if you want to move in that direction, if you want to join the trees and the bees and the air and the peacocks and the does, and you want to offer all your excellences for Krishna, then Vrindavan is the place to be. Actually, when one worships a deity, I read this in Bhakti Sandarbha, when you worship a deity, you should be in the mood that you are in the place of the deity, not that the deity is in your place. But you should be, if you're worshiping Gornitai, your mood should be, this is Mayapur. If you're worshiping Radha and Krishna, the mood is, this room is Vrindavan. Even I'm in Vrindavan now, I have my Govardhan Shila, Haridas. I have my Govardhan Shila, and my mood is I am by the side of Govardhan Hill. I am in their territory, not that they are in my territory. This is Vrindavan consciousness. And one becomes very happy. So Krishna is joy, is ecstasy, describing Vrindavan. Now he says, in general, this earth has now become most fortunate because you, which means Balaram, but also him, because you have touched her grasses and bushes with your feet. How fortunate. Even Lord Brahma prays to be a particle of dust in Vrindavan. To be in association with that ecstatic, absolute, all-attractive reality, that it's a magnetic force to draw the love and pleasure from your heart. Everything in Vrindavan is ecstatic with love for Krishna. But the real reason is they want to please Krishna, because everything in Vrindavan is serving Krishna. The soft ground is serving Krishna. As Krishna walks, he gets pleasure. So because you have everything is most fortunate, because it's the Swayam Bhagavan. And because you have touched her grass and bushes with your feet and her trees and creepers with your fingernails, as Krishna is walking through Vrindavan, he would pick the fruits and flowers from the trees, bushes, and creepers, and use this paraphernalia in his pleasure pastimes. He would break them and decorate their bodies. So they were just waiting to be used. They were waiting in ecstasy to be used for Krishna's service. So this is Vrindavan. And then Krishna... And why is it fortunate? Because you have graced her rivers, mountains, birds, and that with your merciful glance. The greatest happiness that a heart can feel is to be recognized by their intense object of love. At the end of this pastime, because as you remember, this pastime is the first time where Krishna goes out to the forest of Vrindavan, and therefore it's the first time that one sees the mood of separation as Krishna comes back from the forest of Vrindavan. The first thing you can imagine now in your visualization of Krishna in the forest, that you're a resident of Vrindavan and you're waiting in separation for Krishna, and you're looking out towards the forest, and perhaps there's the pasturing grounds. There's the pasturing grounds of Vrindavan. And then you're seeing in the distance the soft dust of Vrindavan, the Padaduli, and then you're hearing the kirtan. And then you see Krishna's lotus face. And then when Krishna comes in, he looks at the gopis who had come to visit and see him. He acknowledged them. And when you love someone so intensely at your heart, and they glance at you, acknowledge and reciprocate that love, how satisfied. But above all, he's telling Balaram, you have embraced, he's talking about the earth being fortunate. Above all, you have embraced the young cowherd women between your two arms, a favor hankered after by the goddess of fortune herself. So, the most fortunate, Because the others, yes, the feet, that's very nice, and your hands, you pick, and your merciful glands. But who could be more fortunate? There's that verse in the about Radharani in the what is that verse about Radharani in the yes. Shakladini Ati Priya Vadani Uru Un Madani Sri Krishna. That's it. Shakladini Ati Priya Vadani Uru Un Madani Sri Radhe. So what is the position of Radharani? She is embraced by Krishna. That's the ultimate reciprocation. Someone can exchange and by looking at you and acknowledge it. But when someone opens their arms and embraces you, and that is the object of your love, and how fortunate. So it describes Vrindavan. Now it's already 12:03 there. I think my class can go for an hour till 12:15. I'm sorry that it takes me so much time to get up where I'm going, but it's 1 week between classes and I have to refresh. So Sukadeva Goswami is describing this Dhamaraj Cricket in ecstasy, and he says, Evam Vrindavanam Srimat Krishna Pritamana Pasun Reme Sancharayam Adre Sarid Rodasu Tanuga. Thus expressing his satisfaction with the beautiful forest of Vrindavan and its inhabitants, Lord Krishna enjoyed tending the cows and other animals with his friends on the bank of the river Jamuna, the low Govardhan Hill. So this shows you what Vrindavan is. It creates the atmosphere for Krishna's pleasure. And the fact that it's creating the atmosphere for Krishna's pleasure, which is his exchange, as mentioned in the last verse with the gopis and the ultimate intimate exchanges of love, the fact that that Vrindavan is moving with the intention to please Krishna is a reciprocation of love and pleasure itself. And then that Vrindavan forest, which is intending to please Krishna's senses by pleasing his mind with the lakes and creating the beautiful atmosphere. Thus, Krishna looks at that Vrindavan forest. He expresses his satisfaction with the Vrindavan forest. And he therefore turns his mind to his exchanges with the devotees. Krishna becomes pleased with the forest of Vrindavan and gave its mercy. And by the means of praise, he enlivened Balaram to enjoy the forest of Vrindavan. I'm going to read another verse today. Kwachit Gayati Gayatsu Mandadalishvanu Vritai Upagiya Manakarita Patti Sankarshana Vita Anujalpati Jalpantam Kalavakyai Shukam Kwachit Kuchit Sabago Kujantam Anukujita Kokilam Kuchit Chakala Hamsanam Anukujati Kujitam Abrinityati Mrityantam Parinam Hasayam Kuchit Egadam Birayavacha Namadir Duradam Pasun Kuchit Abhyabati Pritya Kugo Hala Manogaya. So the result, Pritimana, of being inspired by Vrindavan, Krishna begins to exchange his love with his devotees. So this is how Krishna is enjoying in the forest, first with the cowherd boys. So sometimes the honeybees in Vrindavan became so mad with ecstasy that they closed their eyes and began to sing. So closing the eyes refers to being intoxicated with special happiness. Either this is the happiness of this spiritual world. They're closing their eyes. They're intoxicated with happiness. The bees are drunk with that happiness. They begin to sing. And they're singing because they're either drinking the joy of Vrindavan or drinking the joy of Krishna's lotus face. So this is the pleasure. You're enjoying Vrindavan, which is to please Krishna, and you're enjoying Krishna. And then Krishna, moving along the forest path for this coward boys in Balaram, he would then respond to the bees by imitating their singing while his friends are doing kirtan. So Krishna's imitating the singing of the bees, and his friends are surrounding him, chanting kirtan. And sometimes Krishna would imitate the chattering of a parrot, sometimes with a sweet voice, the call of a cuckoo, and sometimes the cooing of swans. Sometimes he vigorously imitated the dancing of the peacock while making his cowherd boyfriends laugh. So they're going through this forest and they're singing. And then they're seeing these bees that are intoxicated with the joy of Vrindavan and the joy of Krishna. And then Krishna himself starts to sing and imitate the bees and imitate all the various ecstatic animals and birds that are singing his glories. And as he's imitating the birds, then his friends are surrounding him with kirtan, which is heartfelt and appropriate. It's raga, and raga means the manifestation of the pure heart. Because the pure heart moves perfectly for the pleasure of Krishna. This is the nature of affection. Even when Lord Chaitanya was in South India, he was ecstatic. He didn't know which way, what he was doing in one sense. But the love of Krishna, the ecstatic love in the heart, the ecstatic affection for Krishna, always carries one through to perfection. So this is the nature of Vrindavan. So he's imitating the boys are singing. That's what I'm saying, what rag is. Rag is the love for Krishna so deep in the heart of the eternal associates of Vrindavan that the rag, wanting to express itself in an expression of that love, because the nature of love is that for it to be relieved, it must be expressed in an appropriate way, generally by dance or song. But when dance or song is a manifestation of the pure heart, then without training, it manifests perfectly. And then when we want to please Krishna by rag, because we don't have that perfect devotion in our heart, then we have to be trained to do that. But the original manifestation of it is the pure heart of the Vrijvasis. And that's why if you see in India, all the music and dance and everything, it's all Radha and Krishna. All the Bharatanatyam, Odissi dance, most of the painting, most of the arts, most of the ragas, most of the music is ultimately coming from Vraj. And it's a reflection of that love. And therefore the ragas are just expressions of moods of love for Krishna at different times of the day. There's different melodies. So they're vigorously dancing. Sometimes the voice is deep as the rumbling of clouds. He would call out with great affection the names of the animals who wandered far from the herd, thus enchanting the cows and the cowardice. I'll finish here with a little story. I told it on Sunday, but Sunday was so much obstacles. I went to Tarkadamba. And Tarkadamba is the place between Jawat and Nandagram, where Radharani would come every day in the morning to cook for Krishna. And Krishna, when he left Nandagram, that's where he would go to herd the cows. And when Krishna would herd the cows, he would climb on top of a kadamba tree, which was white, which was the color of Radharani and the fragrance of Radharani, and had flowers Radharani's color, and he would call the cows. And the nature of his flute, because again, the expression of love in his heart, in Krishna's heart, for even a particular devotee, would manifest in a particular sound that would represent that devotee. And it's understood from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that each species of life is represented by a melody. And not only species of life, every living entity has a unique melody. So Krishna knows the unique melody of the eternal soul of every living entity. And if you're in the spiritual world and you're Sarup, then Krishna knows your melody, and he will play it from the flute, from his heart, because he loves you. So there'll be a sound that comes from his heart that's magnified in sweetness with the flute that will represent you. You actually have a melody in the spiritual world. And when you hear that melody, it's not only a melody, but it's Krishna's expression of love for you. So when Krishna calls the cows, Krishna calls the cows from his heart, and he's singing the cows. And when we're at Tarkadamba, anybody's going to come to Vrindavan, there's some people listening that will go. If you want, we'll go to this very beautiful, quiet place, and now you can get there almost by car. We used to walk through the forest. And there's a nice sadhu that's there, and he takes care of it so nicely, named Rishikesh. He told me he wants to be called Tarkadamba Maharaj. And obviously he's in Sakyaras, because he has Krishna Balaram deities out there in these, anyway. And so when we came, and he sat with us, and he was listening to me speak and sing, and I also let him speak, even though he doesn't really understand speak English. But we got the idea, because Tarkadamba is the place where Krishna would call the cows. He was telling that story, how Krishna would call the cows, and the name of the cow would come out in the flute. So he was pretending, blowing the flute, and then there's yellow cows, and it would go, Pingala! And then there were white cows, and the flute would go, and he was saying like it, Shukla! And then there were black cows, Shamala! And then there were red cows, Aruni! And then he would imitate the cows who would say, I'm present in Brajabas. So he'd go, Aruni! Humbo! Shukla! Humbo! Pingala, Humbo. So here Krishna is also with great affection. He's calling out the names of the animals who wandered from the herd, thus enchanting the cows. The love is brought out from their hearts by the recognition of that absolute reality, whom they have an eternal, intense, unlimited, loving relationship. And the cowherd boys also, they're enchanted by Krishna. So we'll end for today. Now, there's one thing that I didn't do today is I went right into the pastime. And it takes a while. I'm thinking in the future that, I don't know, maybe what I'll do is give the same class on Sunday and Monday as I go back anyway. So even if someone can only come one of the days, it won't really matter. And the other thing is I wanted to make sure, because it's very important to me, that there's sufficient philosophical content so that we always have the right frame of reference to understand things. This is mostly just Leela today. Someone asked a question, and that's another thing people can do, and I'll try to answer the question. It's just that there's so little time in the class by the time I get warmed up. And tonight it was actually, it starts for me about 9:30, so maybe I was a little tired. Okay, I'll just speak to Rutte if anyone wants to hang on. I may say hello to one or two people, but not too late today. So thank you very much. Vansha Kalpa Purubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Satitanam Pavane Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah.